It was a famine, and near starvation, that drove the prodigal son to look again for his father's house. He did not say to himself, after some years of living it up, "I think I've really made some bad choices. I should go home." He did not miss the conviviality of the dinner table at his father's house and say, "I really wish I were back there sometimes." He didn't say, "That was really a brutal thing for me to do, to ask for my inheritance before the old man was dead. I ought to go home and apologize." No, the prodigal son was driven to look again for his father's house by that famine and by near starvation. This detail of the gospel reminds us of a fact of our human life, that it is often severe troubles, encountering problems bigger than we can handle. Human suffering of one kind or another that drive people to look again for God. Ideally, of course, we would pray as ardently in thanksgiving, in good times, as we do in supplication in bad times. That would be the ideal, for sure. But the parable of the prodigal son suggests that the good Lord does not mind when it is hard times that cause us to think of him, that cause us to seek him again. The joy of the Father at the prodigal son's return is not diminished because it was a kind of practical necessity that drove him back to his father's house. And so what does that say to us? Well, in the first place, that we need not feel sheepish when it is encountering some difficulty in life, some problem too big for us to handle, some human suffering that causes us to pray more regularly or more ardently. Sometimes we can feel a bit hypocritical about that. But today's parable suggests that the Father does not mind. He expects us and he wants us to seek him out in the face of great difficulty. It also reminds us that others around us who face great difficulties are in need of the solace of the Father's house, and that it's precisely those difficulties that might be the occasion on which their hearts are open to look for the Father's house again. When people around us, relatives, friends, coworkers, neighbors, face some very great difficulty, it is a beautiful thing, first of all, to offer to pray for them. It is an even better thing to offer to pray with them for a moment, you and that person together. And the best of all, perhaps, is if they would seek the Father, if they might be encouraged to pour out their hearts to God, to speak of their troubles, to speak of their anxieties at great length and in great detail, to pour out their hearts to God And then to conclude by saying the Our Father, where we say, Thy will be done, recognizing that difficult things happen for a reason. In the providence of God, good can come out of them. They are not futile. They are not lost in meaninglessness. Thy will be done. To say that from our hearts in the midst of whatever trouble there is. And to pray also in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. In the midst of this trouble, whatever it is, help me to get through the demands of this day. Give me what I need for this day, and I'll trust you that you will do the same tomorrow. So, the troubles of life can be an invitation to seek again the house of the Father. It is, however, not a sure thing. A couple of years ago, a little book was published with the fetching title, Janesville, An American Story. Of course, I took special interest in the publication of this book since I am a native Janesvillean. I didn't actually get the book. I read a few paragraphs of it standing in a bookstore one time. But recently, a friend of mine gave me a copy, and I just read it. So it's the story of Janesville in the aftermath of the closing of the big General Motors plant there at the end of 2008. There's a little historical section about the industrial history of Janesville, which is quite interesting. But then it's about how people coped with the closing of General Motors, about what civic leaders tried to do, about the politicians, the role they played. But mostly, following a number of people and families who lost their jobs when General Motors and a number of its suppliers closed shop in Janesville. It's by far the biggest employer in the city with the best paid industrial jobs. And so it was very catastrophic for the city of Janesville. Well, of course, the book is very well done. Of course, there are a few moral situations that are not quite perfect, a few vulgar words in the course of the conversations recounted, but a very compelling story of the people who were touched by this economic difficulty in Janesville. The moment I finished the book, not so much while I was reading the book, but the moment I finished the book, it occurred to me how almost entirely absent was the mention of religious faith. There were some references to what local churches tried to do to help those who were out of work. The only specific reference to someone practicing religious faith, as far as I can remember, was a reference to Congressman Paul Ryan, that he had grown up in Janesville, his family still lived there, his family still went to the parish where he grew up. As far as I can recall, that was the only reference to any particular person who appears in the book practicing any religion. The writer is very good. She gives a very picturesque depictions of many details in the lives of these people, but no reference to adding a prayer at the end of grace or at bedtime that mom or dad would find a new job. No reference to, with all the loss of income, that they wouldn't be able to support their local congregation anymore. No reference to the schedules being disrupted and difficulty in getting the children to religious education. Nothing. Not a word. When there is a wedding in one of the families, it's performed by a relative who has a certificate he got online that he is a minister. And when someone dies, there's reference to the funeral home and going to the cemetery, but not to any funeral in church, not to any prayers in church. I don't say this to condemn anyone or to criticize anyone. And I don't mean to say that if they had said three Hail Marys, all their problems would have been solved. But it was quite striking to me that this turning to the Father was completely off, apparently, the radar screens of all those who were struck by this famine in my hometown. That's not the Janesville that I remember from 50 years ago. Most of the people in the book were younger than myself. And somehow, in the meantime, the knowledge that there is a Father who loves us, who wants to help us in our need, who wants us to live in his house, somehow that knowledge has been lost. That fact has been forgotten. And so that's an even greater imperative that we who are believers must feel that in difficulty, it is very good to help others materially as we are able, but it is even better to point to the house of the Father and to remind them that he is there. And just one more observation on this point, that it can be difficulties that drive us again to seek out the Father. What is true for us as persons is also so often true for us collectively, together. And so, in the life of the church, in our country, and in the West in general, we might look back at recent times and say those were the days that we were fat and happy, and in some way dissipating, spending our heritage of faith, the patrimony of the faith that was passed down to us. When we were fat and happy, we were quite content to follow our own whims, to satisfy ourselves, maybe not to ask too seriously what the Lord wanted from us, what the Lord wanted from his church. Well, we're not so fat and happy anymore. But perhaps in the providence of God, that is a gift to us, that it drives us again to turn to the Father in humility, to seek his will, to seek his help, to seek to please him rather than to please ourselves. As we offer the Eucharist today, we think of this beautiful parable, so well known, so well loved. We remember that detail, that the prodigal son was driven back to the house of the father by a severe need. We ask the Lord that he might help us see any difficulty in life, any difficulty in our own lives, the lives of our families, any difficulty in the life of the church, as an invitation to seek again the house of the Father, to seek his care, his protection, to seek to know and do his will.